In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here. So grab your assigned seat, sit back, and enjoy this week's top 10. Brought to you by the Schmoes No Network. Take it away, boys.
All right, welcome everybody to the Top 10 Show Recap and Review. We haven't done one of these in a while.
No, it's been a minute. We thought we were going to do one for Creed, but I still haven't seen it.
Good God Almighty, son.
It just kind of fell by the wayside now. I'll see it eventually, but
okay.
I'm not a Rocky fan.
It's not Rocky.
It's Rocky. Let's be perfectly honest.
It's Creed.
It's fine. It's Creed. Is it Creed basically doing a Rocky movie? Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil it too heavy, but
I haven't seen it, and I know that before having seen anything but the trailer.
Yeah.
I know that's the case.
All right. Well, see it on your own sweet time. You know how Matt Nost does stuff. He does stuff in his own sweet time.
As we all should.
Just like Twitter.
Enjoy your life.
Enjoy your life. We wanted to do this one, special one, for Star Wars The Force Awakens. I'm John Rocha.
I'm Matt Nost.
And you are listening to us. What? Are we going to put this on YouTube as well, or just on iTunes? What do you think?
Do you want to do another YouTube? Because it comes down to your schedule before you leave.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'd be willing to if you don't mind mocking up a thumbnail. I'm happy to do it. But if it's extra work, then forget it.
No. It will take. That one's super simple. Just grab this, change that, done.
Okay. Let's do it.
Sure.
Just one time. It crosses over. For now.
All right. Your initial thoughts. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Would you recommend it?
I would absolutely recommend it. I would say if you're a Star Wars fan, especially an old trilogy, original trilogy Star Wars fan, go see this movie. Go see it multiple times. I'm going to go see it multiple times.
Yeah, I will be seeing it again.
However, I will say that I liked it, but I did not 100% love it. And I wanted to 100% love it.
Well, I told you right before we started recording.
Yeah.
My hurdle was as long as it's not terrible.
Oh, by the way, we should say, this is very spoiler heavy for
your
new listener. This is very spoiler heavy. We are going to reveal stuff that happens in the movie.
No, we're talking about the film.
Yeah, we're talking about the film.
So 100%.
We're gonna reveal
our
everything.
Favorite parts, the parts we didn't like.
Right. All that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. So if you don't want to hear it, you haven't seen it, you don't want it spoiled, turn this off.
Right now. Download it.
Yeah. Once again, we always say that. Thank you for the download.
Thank you for the download.
Thank you for the view on YouTube for this one.
That's right.
Appreciate it.
Well.
You know, give us a thumbs up since we gave you such a great warning.
Why not?
Yeah. Leave a comment. These guys give the best warnings. But fucking turn it off.
Yeah. And then come back and listen to
it. Yeah. Once you've seen it.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway.
You were saying. My hurdle was just that as long as you're not terrible, that's all I care about. And so long as you do that, I will enjoy myself. Now, the varying degree with which I enjoy myself thereafter is the other component in it. But the fact that I was not disappointed, I'm more than happy with the film.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's so sad. I told my wife that last night and she's like, I didn't know you were so excited. I'm like, it's such a huge part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And all I want it is to not be terrible. And she was like, really? And I'm like, that's all I want.
I just don't want it to be the prequels.
Yeah. I don't want it to be Phantom Menace all over again.
Yeah.
Where I built it up and I was so excited.
Yeah.
And then it's just a turd in your mouth. And you're like, oh, man. I saw that 3 times in the theater trying to convince myself that it was good.
Really? Yeah, because you want to find it.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't see it. Maybe it's in there if I look harder.
Exactly. Or I can latch on to, these destroyers, these droidicas or whatever they're called are fantastic.
This is a great plot with trade federations.
Exactly. Oh, the Jedi can run super fast. Sure. Seriously, I was trying to find anything. Like willing more Darth Maul screen time, anything else than what we got.
Right. The politics of it all.
Yeah. And on this one, it was just like, you know what? There's numerous aspects of it that I could have existed in more. And the ultimate key for me was when it was over, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I wanted it to keep going. I knew exactly where it was going. It sped up on that ending pretty quick.
Yeah, it really did, which is something that I've have an issue with or have or find as a criticism. My criticisms are not to dissuade anyone from not going to see the movie. My criticisms are, I wish this could have been better, but I still love or like the film a lot. That's what I would say. You know, overall, to me, I think my biggest problem taking away from it is I don't think they fleshed out a couple of the main characters enough.
Which ones?
Poe and Finn. I don't think they gave us enough.
I mean, Poe, no.
Story. Yeah. Or even Finn. Like, what does that stormtrooper dying mean to him with, putting the mark on his mask? Why does that bother him? We don't know who that stormtrooper is that's dying.
It's true. The only thing they give us is that they're not clones.
Right.
They're grabbed from a young age.
Yes.
And I don't understand why this is a better version than clones.
Right.
Clones to me are just, they're drones. They're out there to work for you. They don't know any other existence. They've never seen any other life.
Right.
That one makes more sense. I don't know why you would deviate, unless it's cost.
Well, and this is what's interesting about the First Order, because the way the First Order is done is basically an homage to the darks, an homage to what was originally... You know, the Republic, the dark side. It is not like Vader and the Emperor Palpatine. It's a religious homage. So that's what's so frustrating about it. And a little bit. And I don't think they went into it enough.
Religious homage in how? Saying it's no longer a bureaucratic entity. It's a faith.
Yeah. Like or a force driven thing. It seems like.
We don't know the story behind.
Well, that's my point.
See, I thought that would be part of the closing is, what is it, Arlo Ren?
Yeah, Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Him going back versus...
I do like Arlo Ren, though.
Arlo Ren? Sure. It's, big Arlo Guthrie fan.
That's right.
It's the only other Arlo in the world that I can come up with.
yeah.
I figured the mirror when Rey is going to see Luke would be... Ren going the other way.
Snoke. See Snoke. Yeah.
So you see both of those guys and they're both revealed.
Yeah.
I figured it would just be that.
That'd have been great, Matt. That's actually a great point. That would have been awesome to see that, because then we would have seen the mirror thing and then how that would have led into this eventual confrontation, which we know is coming between Rey and Ren, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, 100%. And plus, I want to see what the size of the character is, because the projection is he's a god.
Yeah.
He is this immortal living amongst us.
Yeah.
But it was great in that first scene because he looked that big. I was like,
yeah.
What the? And then you see it's a hologram at the very end. Yeah. You're like, oh, that is great. So now I don't, the character looms larger in my, mind than possibly it does in reality.
Yeah. I wasn't 100% great with him consistently being that tall. I was like, is this real? What is this? I know it's a hologram, but it's like, is there an energy that's real? Like, is there a person coming? Like, what's behind it? It almost felt like the Wizard of Oz, where he's like, don't go in there. It's that big head, and behind the curtain is this old dude, whatever. So to me, it was a little weird to see that. Because what was great about Palpatine, whenever he would appear in the original trilogy, he would just be the little hologram, but it'd just be covered in the hood.
Well, in the original trilogy, he's... projected, he's on that screen.
Yeah.
Like you see him, but it looks like a man.
Right, exactly. This one seemed like some, like you said, a god, and that's a very good point. It almost, and which is what I mean. It's this whole First Order feels like a religious homage to what the dark side was in the original trilogy, which seemed organic. This seems like they're trying to revive it without having necessarily a full understanding of the dark side of the Force. You know? I mean, they basically are reviving this idea, but then there's no explanation as to why. What was the motivation? What's the goal? What are they trying to do?
Well, I think that's what we have to get to, because there's also with Ren, why would you try and be your grandfather?
Yeah.
What drew you into, like, we don't know any of that.
We don't know any of that.
So if that doesn't pay off, it's going to color my perception of this.
Absolutely.
I'm giving them the good grace now of, you're setting up to get to something.
Yeah.
So you have to introduce us to quite a few new characters.
Right.
You have to take away some old characters.
Yeah.
And then, and then move forward. So we got to flesh out the backstory of some of these people so you have an understanding of the geography of the story.
Yeah.
So, fine. Set it up. Like, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as we saw him, Ren brooding and all that.
Yeah.
And when Leia said to Han, "Hey, bring him home."
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't end well.
No.
In my head. And then when he, first off, I love that his name is Ben.
Yeah, that was, to
that
hear
was
him
great.
Scream Ben like that.
Yeah.
Man.
And it's an homage chills. To the guy that brought them together.
Yep.
They wouldn't, you know, it's like this old paternalistic person for her especially.
Yeah.
And carry that on. And he was, you know, he taught Luke and he taught your grandfather. And this guy is, you know, he's important to all of us, to the universe at large. And when he said that, you're like, oh, motherfucker, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But when he walked out, I was like, I'm trying to work through something. Like, can you help me? I was like, just don't. I know you're his dad, but don't. As soon as you're like, because you don't build up the angst of a villain like that to have it pay off where he dies or they join forces that quickly.
No.
It just doesn't make sense. So I knew. So I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then I just loved the look on his face. Harrison Ford wasn't. It was pain, but also love as he's dying.
Yeah.
And he holds on to his face just a little bit.
Great ending.
He's already forgiving him as he's doing it. And that was like, wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I also, right now, I don't know if I'm on board with that villain.
We got to know why. I want to know why. Don't make me wait 2 fucking years to find out why. This is what drives me nuts sometimes about these things. When people walk into them and they've already planned out a trilogy, do not give me the most powerful films. The most powerful trilogies are trilogies where each of the film can be a standalone film. And I don't mean that you don't need stuff going on that can carry over and be cliffhangers. Of course.
Yeah.
But flush them out. And I feel like so many things were just presented to us and not really fleshed out and given the background and the history so that we can attach to it and then take that into the next movie. It feels like we're just going to be searching for answers through this whole trilogy. You know, and that bothered me. And I wanted to know, what was the motivation of starting the First Order? Why does he hate Han? Why does he hate his dad? What happened? With Rey, we got the... Oh, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that the only... To move the story along, though, you're asking for exposition quite a bit. And a lot of that is going to be flashbacks. So how many flashbacks are we going to have... To have to go back and shoot, you know what I mean? Because now you're asking for what happened with Ren, where he was being trained by Luke and apparently turned on
this
training academy and killed everybody there.
What happened?
So we have to go into that story. Then we also have to go into the story of why he turned away from Han and Leia.
Yeah.
And then we have to have the Finn backstory of maybe when he was like, this is a ton of backstory. Right. I kind of like that they just made the decision of, we'll address it as we go, but we have to move this particular storyline.
Okay, and that's a personal preference thing, right? So I respect that because people are okay with it. Like when I was talking about this with Mark Reilly at Far, Far Away, same thing. He was okay with how it was.
As long as they pay it off. Like the onus is on them later on. Just like, okay, my guess is the next one is when we get the backstories on this, especially from the Ren, Han Solo, that family line perspective. Right. We might gloss over Finn until the third one.
Yeah.
Because then, like, you get the full story of these stormtroopers and maybe some of the others defect or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I might be asking too much, though, because if you look at the original trilogy, Luke is really the one that's fleshed out. You do get Leia as a princess, but Leia's already a princess from the beginning.
You
don't get a lot of backstory that
they weren't siblings. Until the second movie.
Right. Han Solo is, but I think the way Han Solo is presented in the original trilogy is better than the way Poe Dameron is presented here. Poe is just a pilot, and he's a fighter, and he's a smartass, and he has that moment where Kylo uses the Force on his head and makes him scream, but then he finds a way to escape, and then Finn helps him escape. But there's no there's no moments of conversation with anybody of vulnerability and talking about like why he's part of the rebellion or the resistance. There aren't those down moments in a battle. It wouldn't have to be expedition like huge flashbacks. It's just like a downtime in a battle or after they've gotten back to the base and there's a conversation with Leia where she's like, what did you find? What happened? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this. Yeah, it just reminds me of when we were blah, blah, blah. Well, that was a time that, you know, it could have been something. And I just felt like it wasn't. There wasn't enough there, as opposed to Rey, who is fantastic in the film. Daisy Ridley is so good.
Yeah, I think you just have to choose your battles.
Yeah.
She's going to be the star of these three,
mm-hmm.
along with, looks like Finn along for the ride.
Yeah, John Boyega, yeah. And Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaac looks
good
too.
I think Oscar Isaac, the only reason he signs on for this is if like they give him an idea of here's where we're going.
Yeah.
We have to use you this like this in the first one.
Right.
But we're gonna give you a lot more. You're gonna grow into this character.
Yeah. Like Luke. Like Mark Hamill come back. We're gonna have this one shot of you near the end. And then the second film is where you're really, because we've moved Solo out of the way.
Yeah.
You're gonna be the central.
You're gonna be the focus. Yeah. It's gonna be you and Daisy.
Yeah. Training and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And doing, I mean, basically, they did a hybridized version of 4 and 6 for the first one.
Yeah.
So in the next one, it's going to be, it looks like Empire-ish.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be really dope.
And that's the other thing I walked out of, like, when they did the side-by-side of the Death Star, and this thing's so much bigger than the Death Star. I was like, I love that they just said, fuck it, let's remake what's been classic about this goddamn series.
You do like that?
Just because, once again, it's a safe choice.
Yeah.
And I will take safe choices.
Because of the damage from the prequels.
Because,
like, I love that logic, man. I do.
Well, because Lucas was just like so blown away by what he could accomplish with CGI,
which
I don't blame him, because they were pushing the boundaries of what was possible and they did all these cool characters.
Yeah.
But it was for the sake of doing all these cool characters.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do to propel the story or to pay off with the characters' storylines. Yeah. The jokes fell flat all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Whereas in this one, like, I would say quite a few of them hit, at least for me.
Agreed.
Some of the others, like the Oscar Isaac, like, so do you talk first? Do I talk first?
Yeah. You thought it was out of place.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
some of those, yeah.
I would have accepted, like, so what do you guys wear all the masks? Or something like that.
Right.
Just something, but I don't know. But my theater liked it. It's one of those. But there were other jokes where I was like, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a good joke. Especially like some of the Chewie and Han stuff and the Han in general. Oh, man, he was so good in that movie.
Dude. So good. So much pain. Mm-hmm. So much. Like when they ask him about Luke Skywalker, and when he turns around and he's like,
it's all real.
Yeah, I knew him. I knew Luke. I was like, oh, it was so powerful.
Well, you know? Especially the lighting on his eyes, it made it look like it was teary, but they were just, you know, shooting a bright light or maybe with CGI, giving it a sparkle, but it looked like he was mildly welling up, like recalling the past or the pain of all of it.
Right.
And Harrison Ford was, phenomenal in this.
And like you said, that moment on the bridge when he is killed, there's the reaching for the face and the, and he's almost forgiving him before he even dies, which is great. Great point, man.
But I love the care that they took with that character.
Yeah.
They set him up with, look, he's a guy.
You mean Kylo?
No.
You mean Han Solo.
Han Solo?
Yeah.
The care with, like, when they had the dual factions of people that want their 50,000 credits
or whatever
it is back, and you see that he's still a smuggler.
He is.
He went back to a life that he understands.
Right.
And now he's smuggling these great little beast characters.
Yeah.
So great. They set it up. Trust me, you don't want to.
Yeah.
And when she hits those fuses, that's the first thing I thought of when she hit that last one. Is like, oh, is it fuses for all the ship? Because if it is, you know, we just found a way out of this situation for Han.
Yeah.
But that whole sequence and the first time he grabs Chewie's crossbow and shoots, I think is it right there? Or is it toward the end of that scene? I can't remember.
Do you want to borrow this?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And it just shoots him. It's like, oh, this thing's great. And that thing, I think, has gotten more powerful with age, because I don't remember it being able to shoot and blow two guys away.
Yeah.
Blow up the area around them.
Yeah.
But I will say this much. Apparently anybody can pick up a lightsaber.
Hey, now, let's get to that, because I didn't get a chance to address that in my other review that I did. And I want to talk about that, because to me, that really bothered me. The whole setup of the original trilogy is that you have to be trained to use this thing. And if you watch Rebels or if you watch any of the other media or read any other media, you can't just pick up a lightsaber and start wielding it with no training. You're going to be lost. I can't pick up a sword with no training and just start wielding it, no matter how much fighting training I have.
We saw her kick the two dudes' asses with a staff.
I don't mind her. It's Finn I'm talking about. I don't mind Daisy because she has the staff.
When you're watching that... When you rewatch it, because I was saying the same thing, it was like, why? But Ren is toying with him. He gets one hit on him, because he's not taking him seriously.
Yeah.
But the moment he does, like, there are points in which is like he's olaying him and let him go past, and he's having fun with it. It's a cat and mouse.
Yeah.
Because he realizes he's not in his arena. But I don't know if I like her just jumping in and being his equal.
Yeah, with the Force and everything.
Everything, like, across the board. Yeah, she can stop him trying to read her mind. She can do this. She can do this. Right. And she hasn't been taught or trained to how to hone any of it.
Yeah.
Like, if that the separation within the Earth happens sooner within the fight and she's managed to, like, fend him off.
Yeah.
And do it in a way that was just like, you know, maybe go ahead.
Maybe an overall explanation, Matt, is that because he is so conflicted, he has his weaknesses. Now, and that could explain the fact that he toyed with Finn when he could have, because he'd shown earlier in the movie he can freeze people with his Force power and, like, shoot them across rooms or across locations. He could have easily done that to Finn with no problem. No problem, because Finn has no power or Force power to come back at him with. And so he could have done
Finn is afraid, and he's feeding off of that fear,
right?
So knowing that he's got the upper hand, whereas Rey is not fearful once she, like, just calms herself and centers.
Yeah. But, and so that when he comes back and does the thing with, I think I didn't mind the Ridley going back and forth with him, that he couldn't break her down, because
me either.
Because I like the fact that she's coming. My problem with her using the Force is when she all of a sudden knows how to use. How to make the guy...
Oh, the Jedi mind trick?
Yeah, the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
Luke saw that because... Luke knew he could do that because Ben did it in front of him. And he was like, oh, that's possible. But also from his training, you know what I'm saying? And so, whereas Daisy picked it up and... Or, I mean, the character's name, Rey picked it up. And somebody argued that... Matt argued, or Mark rather, argued that it's because she read his mind, she saw he could do that. And I'm like, that's a stretch. That's asking a lot of the viewer to assume that, you know?
Yeah, and that's also, like, creating a large assumption that she was able to read any reach of his mind.
Right. She only read that he was afraid that he was never going to be as powerful as Darth Vader or as evil as Darth Vader, right?
But that could be at the forefront of his mind because he's dealing with that, so it's easier to read that as opposed to this buried, oh yeah, Jedi can do all these things. It's not like she's went into the Matrix and was like, fucking teach me Kung Fu, you know?
That's a good point.
That thought is at the forefront of his mind because that's all we've seen from him is the angst that he's carrying of, for some reason, he's trying to become his grandfather and hates the generation in between.
Yeah.
We don't know why yet.
Yeah. Did you like it? Did you like that you had a villain that had, like, this existential crisis that was right on the surface? And
if it pays off, yes.
Yes. See, now this is something, too, like... I initially did not like it. I didn't like that he took his mask off and he has no scars, no problem with his face.
Well, now he does.
Well, now he does. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it seems like they're almost essentially creating, they're almost redoing Vader better than they did in the prequels. Like, they're redoing the evil and they're going backwards. And it's an interesting twist to have him be not want to go to the light. Like, the light is the evil thing in his life. Like, the light draws him into him. That's a negative thing to go to the light. Whereas we have been told in the original trilogy that it's a negative thing to go to the darkness. And so it's interesting to have it kind of twist or flipped on its head that it's now the light that is a danger to this guy, you know? And you're right. It works and the payoff is great, which means he does not have redemption. He goes straight to evil and stays evil.
He stays
to
evil.
The end.
Exactly.
To the fight with Rey in the end of the trilogy, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, there is no redemption for him.
Yeah.
Because you just killed Han Solo.
Man.
I mean, just.
Fucking, I can't get, it's still such a powerful thing, which is why I'm going to go back and see it again and experience it. But there's a criticism for me attached to that too, because it's like, we don't get to see Luke, Leia, and Han together one more time, you know, to have a scene together one
more time. That's true, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, that bothered me, and I really wanted to see a scene with them and Chewie and C-3PO and R2-D2, and which were also pretty marginalized in the movie. C-3PO was really almost useless.
Yeah, so was R2-D2.
And R2-D2, right. Until
he just miraculously comes on out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are looking for a map? Hold on. I got a map that's missing a piece.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? That part was like, oh, that's insanely convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but all this being said, great homages to the original trilogy, great moments, very fun back and forth, awesome battles, both on planets and then in the air. There was a lot to enjoy about the movie. There are just some things that I felt if we had fleshed them out a little bit more, I would be a disciple of this movie. Like, I would be such a lover of the movie, you know. So, but who knows? I'm going back a couple more times, so I may end up falling in love with it eventually. But,
yeah,
you know.
Still, though, like I love. There was a part that slayed me, and I only heard like 3-4 other people laughing.
Uh huh.
But it fucking slayed me. The Ren, when the first time he gets pissed off and goes lightsaber ape shit.
Oh yeah.
And they keep cutting back to the guy. And he's just, no, the two stormtroopers was later.
But that was a great moment,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, where they just turn around. The first time where the guy comes to give him bad news, and it's just him solo.
Yeah.
And the sparks are flying, and he's like, he's grimacing and trying to not avert his gaze because he's got to show respect, but he's, it's very much like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Big Lebowski. Yeah. It's like not to that degree going for comedic effect, but he was like, plus, he doesn't want to catch the ire of him because this guy could easily kill him 15 different ways.
Yeah.
Me, a couple other guys. I love it. The dude sitting next to me was so excited. He was breathing through his nose. And anytime like a scene was building, you just hear. It was cracking me up. Like, at first, I was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. But then I noticed that it was anytime the stakes were building at all, he was just getting amped up. And releasing, like, I'm glad that I saw it in a packed house.
Yeah. Like, best way to see it.
It is. The people in front of me were talking quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they were whispering where you couldn't hear them, but you could see them moving.
Yeah.
So it's one of those of, I'm not going to say anything because I can't hear you.
Right.
You're not really distracting, but I want to be so focused on this, I'm finding reasons to be distracted almost.
Yeah.
But there was something where I was at Arclight and an usher had to come up and get somebody and there was like a kerfuffle, but not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
Like you could see people looking in that direction, but it was far enough away from me that I couldn't quite hear it.
Maybe you had a weapon or something. Because some of the theaters aren't allowed. They said you weren't allowed to bring lightsabers.
Oh, yeah. Arclight was like that. They checked every bag, which I've never seen them do.
Yeah.
And then they had signs posted, no makeup, no masks, no weapons.
How interesting, man.
Yeah, nothing. Just we're trying to keep this safe.
That's where we are now in our society, man. Yep. Some fucking bad apples.
You know what? For liability reasons on their part,
because
this is a movie that everybody's going to dress up and go to.
Right.
And unfortunately, movie shootings or movie theater shootings have happened twice now.
Yeah.
In, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
It's a reality.
We had two guys last night at the 10 o'clock showing at the Grove who were dressed up in Jedi robes, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
But they were the only two.
I saw one dude.
Yeah.
But I didn't see what I was anticipating, which is just a horde of people dressed
to them. Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was going to be Comic-Con Part 2 or some shit like that, but it didn't quite flesh out like that. Let's talk about Rey, man. Great development on her, right? I mean, great performance by Daisy Ridley. It's her first film, for God's sakes. Like, everything else she's done has been TV. I thought she was great, didn't you?
Do you think when Keira Knightley sees this, she's going to be pissed off?
She should be.
That she's not 10 years younger?
Yeah, well, also... because
this girl is basically Keira Knightley.
Yeah, a better version. I would say I would recast every Keira Knightley film with her.
Yeah.
And I would probably...
she's got more charm.
She does. And she's more interesting, I think, in her performances. And there's more reality and truth in her moments that I really liked. I'm always aware when I watch an actor what they're doing with the middle of their forehead, what they're doing in scenes. If they're using their forehead to act the scene, you're betraying that you're not 100% feeling what's happening. But if you if there's something, you can tell, like when there's a flatness to the forehead, but the eyes are doing what they're doing, then you know the person's dialed into the scene. And it's an acting trick to use your forehead to convey what's happening. And so I thought Daisy did a fantastic job with that throughout the whole film. She was very in the moment.
Yeah.
Very real. The terror that she would feel in certain moments was real.
Shit, her back and forth with Han Solo.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Where you can see that she instantly takes to him in a paternalistic way. Mm-hmm. Or that she could see him as a paternalistic influence in her life.
Right.
And when Rilo says it later, like, oh, you look at the father for her. Kylo. God damn it, I keep doing that.
Okay.
It was Arlo earlier. Yeah. So now it's Rilo, and it said it's Kylo. I think it's because it's Ren on the end, and I put an R on instead of...
Well, I'm waiting for Lilo and...
Yeah, they're all coming. Stitch. We'll bring out the whole parade of characters eventually. But when he says, like, oh, he'll be disappointing, but...
Yeah,
I didn't. That to me seemed very true to the character in that, like, okay, that's who she's longing. Her father left her on that planet.
Yeah.
So this is what she's been missing. She's been, struggling out there on her own.
Right.
I don't know if I needed he's not coming back with the alien.
Oh, Maz Kanata. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great but that whole sequence was great.
That was great, and that CGI character is other thing I learned about this. Yeah. They used as much makeup as humanly possible, yep. and just popped in great little CGI here and there. But they took such care within the peripheral characters of the world, like the cantina homage scene.
Cantina was great.
They did the same thing. We're just like cut. Three person shot here, cut to two person shot in like there's like here's some characters, back to the story. You want to see what the world is, just like we were showed before.
Yeah.
And like little things as they were coming into that town right before the cantina scene, I guess it would be the equivalent of a metal pecker instead of a woodpecker. Banging. But for Lucas, it would have been this crazy CGI character that just didn't quite, and that looked very believable to me and like, okay.
With an uncomfortable ethnic accent.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Chop this down. Like all the little things.
Yeah.
Like that. Like so when they walk into that scene, the one droid calls the resistance and says,
yeah.
And then the girl walks off and says, you know, hey, First Order.
Yeah.
They're here too. But the guy she's with is like this big, it's a CGI, but I've seen that guy at the club. It's fun though. That's one of the other things of, they did such a great job with the world of creating a Star Wars that seemed believable.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that bothered me is that you could see some of the stuff coming in the film because you'd seen it in the trailers. I think they gave away a little too much in the trailers in terms of
what, like the resistance flying in.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. So,
and I knew Poe was alive, and I knew he was going to be.
And you knew that it, when they had that shot when they were hiding out in the grill of the Millennium Falcon, that it's Han and Chewie coming through because that's the look of the shot. In the trailer, when they were like Han's Chewie were home.
Oh yeah.
So you saw certain things coming, which I thought they gave away just a little too much. Like the whole the Millennium Falcon coming through the trees and the snow planet, that was pretty cool. But we'd already seen it.
That's
in
the other
theaters.
Thing. Yeah. How thick is the hull on the Millennium Falcon?
It's pretty survivable, apparently.
And the glass on the front of that can take anything.
Yeah, apparently.
Just fucking anything. That's one of those of I'm not going to fault you for. You're having fun. It's basically you brought back another character and you're letting that character shine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got no problem with that. Yeah. But this thing, I mean, flying like the low on the dunes and whatnot, but they managed to miss everything. She hits some, like when they're initially taking off.
Yeah.
They scrape against some stuff and whatnot as she gets her legs, so to speak.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But then through the trees and they slide on the snow and hit the final rock and you're like, no damage. This thing can fly again. No problem. The one monster that they're smuggling latches onto the glass piece and they take off and it evaporates, which is cool as shit.
Yeah.
But we saw that thing just go roadhouse on the entire salvage ship that they're on. You're telling me it can't take out this glass? It's got a mouthful of huge sarlacc-like teeth, and it can't take out this glass?
It's just trying to eat the glass. It's trying to break the glass.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't care. The fact that they go to light speed and it evaporates like in front of them is like, hey, great. Why not?
Yeah. It was a very fun film. You can't deny that. It was a very fun film. And in a way, it was... It was so fun that you could overlook other things. And I think that's a positive of the film. You know what I'm saying? Leia, what's Leia? What's the point of Leia? Like, Leia doesn't do anything. And it's kind of bothersome that her son has run off and is a training to be a Darth or a Sith Lord. And she doesn't go after him. The Leia from the original trilogy steals a starship, gets going, goes.
Yeah, maybe she
confronts
did.
Confronts it.
We don't know. Maybe she did.
She sent Solo and said, bring him home.
My guess is when Luke is teaching Rey, he'll talk about what happened.
Yes, of course.
And then we'll also then get the, no, Leia tried to do this, and we'll get all the backstory on that, so we'll figure out. They're going to give us the lay of the land there because they've got so much explanation there.
I guess so.
I don't know. Yeah. But my question, like on the Finn backstory, unless they thought like there is a mass exodus of these kids that have been kidnapped, apparently, which is highly likable or possible,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm extending them the good grace because they didn't do a terrible job. They did, in my eyes, a great job.
Yeah.
All things considered, just because, guys, I mean, please, please. That's all I'm asking. Please. Just don't be terrible. That's all I wanted. And they achieved that. So
they really did.
Go see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I
but if you're listening to this, hopefully you've already seen it. We just spoiled the living shit out of it.
Yeah, we really did. Go see it again.
I will.
Yeah.
As I was watching it last night, because I'm going to see my brother next week over at Christmas.
Yeah.
I know he saw it last night. I already texted him. I was like, hey, you know, if I don't get a chance to see it this week, we should probably figure out a time to go see it again, because I definitely want to.
I'd like to take my nephew. I don't think my sister's... Oh, well.
That happens.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, and they'll come out. Usually, turn it off pretty quickly, because that car does that all the time. It's so much like... I don't know. It's like four times a week, five times a week, but they're always lickety-split. I think it's just a hair trigger alarm that goes off nonstop.
do you accept, like, my idea... Well, not my idea, but, like, what seems to be the general consensus is that Rey is Luke's daughter.
I'd assume so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, So I just wanted to see, because it seemed like that was pretty clear what they were saying, you know.
Now, do you think she was, like, immaculately conceived?
No.
Just full-formed out of his huevos?
No. Because in the extended universe, he has a wife. It's not canon yet, but he has a wife and he has a child. So it may be that they bring her into the second film, or... that she is spoken about and talked about, as you said, probably in flashback, in some version of a flashback, because she has that flashback where she's being held.
What's that?
And she wants to go on she sees the ship leaving, and she's, don't leave me. You know,
it's either that or honestly, I don't know why the First Order, doesn't just have massive stations on every desert world, because apparently anybody with the Force comes, like badass skills in the Force, comes from a desert planet. So why don't we just station on desert fucking planets and wait for the next one to crop up?
Right, right. They can't seem to catch those Skywalkers.
Yeah, that clan is fucking...
It's an elusive. Yeah.
I guess it would make sense, but then it's just like, so Luke was doomed to repeat the sins of his father by abandoning his child?
I guess so. That seems weird. Like, it seems weird that he would just leave.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It seems more like that he would have learned the mistake of me not having a father did these things to me, so I need to be around to teach her.
Yeah.
Unless he was so ruined by Ren going to the dark side that he's just like, I shouldn't teach you know, kids that have the Force.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But... yeah, at the same time, I'm just as we said, I'm going to extend to them a lot of leeway. So figure it out, fellas. You've got a bunch of questions asked, but at the same time, that's a good thing. It's that we have those types of questions as opposed to that fucking character was terrible. Yeah. Why in the world did they do this? And that action series or sequence was so boring.
Yeah.
So boring. It was just a lot of bluster and for no point. Whereas in this, all the action worked really well.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen a funeral for Solo, some kind of eulogy or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to talk about.
I figured that would have come between Rey and Leia.
Yeah.
Because she witnessed it along with Finn.
Or Leia and Chewie.
Yeah, Leia and Chewie.
That would have been that would have solved it for me perfectly to have Leia and Chewie hug, have a moment of like real grieving with each other. And just a quick like, just something where she says, you know, he's gone, or I can't, or like something, or where she's like, I'm so sorry, Chewie. Like, you know, something where there's a connection. Because their scenes together were still magic.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford. So it would have been nice to see some more of that.
This could be I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but the thought just occurred to me, but this could be the best usage of Chewbacca in.
Oh, yeah.
And especially within context of conversation.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's an I am Groot a byproduct of here's a character that we don't understand. So you have to contextualize within the context of like what, or not contextualize within the context. That's just circular definition.
Wheels within wheels, man.
Yeah. Contextualize within the scene of like the way people react and the next question or the reaction that they have to whatever he says.
Yeah.
Because he drops some great comedic punchlines.
He really does.
Without having to do anything. Yeah. Just like, you know, Chewie would do that every once and again.
Yeah.
But it'd be like once a movie, it was just like, okay, they figured out the rhythm of this character a lot better than, at least over the course of an entire film, as opposed to, he's just kind of Chewie.
Yeah.
And all the others.
I love that doctor scene. That was everything.
Yeah.
That was so funny. She's like, oh, so you must be some kind of, you must be so brave. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
Great real thing. Same thing BB-8. BB-8, fantastic.
Yeah.
My God, what an amazingly alive, fun, and enjoyable droid character to bring to Star
something,
Wars.
And guess what? That is something that we as adults liked, and kids are going to love.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are going to love. It is basically like a little kid that has a ton of information and can help. Like, I can do this too, guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of great emotion, or when he tells, when Finn tells him that Poe is dead, and he drops his head and just slowly rolls off. It's like, why would a droid have an emotional attachment? But we see that within this world.
Exactly.
But it was so good.
Yeah. I love his, like, shocking Finn to tell him.
What about the thumbs up?
No, the thumbs up.
The thumbs up was fantastic. That is a joke that works 100% in my theater.
Excellent.
Just the boy gives it to him and he just fucking shoots it right back. And it wasn't smiling, but you know, I think we all projected a huge like grin on his face, like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a great.
And also the Harrison Ford of Finn is trying to like act big. I'm big time.
A big deal.
Yeah, you got a bigger problem. The girls always find out.
Know the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Just love that. First off, that is a cliche within movies, but it's within life. You can only lie for so long.
It is. Woman's intuition, man.
Oh, it's just like, dude, you're on a sinking ship and you have a Dixie cup.
Yeah.
You're doing that. You can bail for so long. You know what I mean? You'll stay afloat for a while. You'll lie to yourself that salvation is coming, but ultimately you're going to sink and die.
Oh, God. I remember I got caught in a lie.
It's the worst.
With my ex one time.
It's the worst.
She was like, I told her I was someplace else.
You did the, I'm staying at his house and went to another guy's house? You're like 16. Mom, I'm staying at Chris's. In reality, I'm going to Brad's.
This last year with my ex.
That's what I'm saying. You're like a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I was like, well, I said something like I was going to be somewhere. I'm on my way but I wasn't on my way. I was at a friend's house and I told her I was in the car on the way. She goes, "You're on the way?" It doesn't sound like you're in a car. Oh no, it's the new Bluetooth, the way they've got it set up. It's really clear. This Jawbone thing I have, it's really clear. It's supposed to cut out all noise and noise canceling. I'm telling you, 2 months. She would occasionally like talk about it and bring it up and try to catch me. And then finally, I was like, okay. You know that thing? Yeah, what I was that I wanted to stay a little bit longer. I was still getting high and watching stuff, and I know I was supposed to be where I was supposed to be, but I didn't. It's just, I just wanted to do that, and the traffic did not take longer. You're right. I wasn't in the car. And she's like, I knew it. I just wanted to hear you say it. I just thank you for saying that. And I was like, okay, fine. But yeah, they always know.
Yeah.
They don't let it go until you tell them the truth.
That's the worst. My wife had...
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing, right? I'm just saying, yeah.
My wife and I had a fight 6 months. We don't really fight. We'll get mad at each other and just stop talking to each other for a little while.
That's good.
And then we come back and we'll just be like, listen, this is why I did this and whatever, and explain and just be like, you know, like if anything, once I snapped at her, we were driving and I was telling her directions, she couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And then I turned around and I pulled up next to her and was like, I have no idea why I did that. I'm sorry. And she was like, thank you, because that was way over the line. It was like, I know. I don't know where that came from. You have to, because we're fucking, we're all crazy. Just that erratic. So when I wake up in the morning, like I like a light meal when I wake up.
Because
a lot of times, like I'll have a snack before I go to bed. So I don't wake up really hungry. And I woke up one time and she made me like Eggs Benedict and something else.
Yeah.
And I'm not an Eggs Benedict fan. And on top of that, so I just saw it and I was like, no thanks. And it pissed her off I brought it up a year later. And she was like, you don't know how long I was fucking mad at you. And I was like, I never asked for Eggs Benedict. You just made me Eggs Benedict. I don't want that. And she was like, well, I know that now. But at the time, I was doing something nice. And you just fucking straight shot. And it was just like, okay, bring it up sooner then. You shouldn't be having an internal fight about Eggs Benedict in your head that is making you mad at me.
Relationships, man. Dude. Relationships.
I had the...
Constant navigation, dude.
I've heard the cliche, the classic stupid girl had a dream where a guy cheated on her.
Oh,
like, wakes up pissed off.
That is true.
I woke up because my wife cheated on me in a dream, and I was... I didn't say anything to her, but when, I literally, when I woke up, I looked at her, and I looked at her with eyes of, you fucking bitch. I did. I carried the emotional resentment from something my mind created into the real world and projected on her. I was like, oh, you fucking, I can't believe you do that to me. And then I told her about it laughing later. And I was like, you have no idea what happened to me. It's like, I've heard that story of like, how crazy are girls?
Yeah.
And I woke up. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm just this crazy.
I had that. Yeah. She did that one time.
Yeah. I've never had it happen to me.
She was super pissed for the whole weekend. And I was like, it was a dream.
Yeah.
It was a dream.
Yeah, I let it go instantly. It was like, oh, this is what my mind made it up.
And yeah, no.
50 other things happened in that dream.
Yeah. But well, that one really
that's,
stuck
yeah,
out.
That's what I'm latching on to, but it's like, it's not real.
Okay, anyway. So, after that. So that's our recap review, right? Is there anything more you want to say about it?
No.
Yeah, go see it. Definitely, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait until like Wednesday.
Okay.
Hopefully it's died down by then and people are waiting for the holiday weekend to go see it.
Yeah.
And then I might try and see it in IMAX too.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see it in IMAX.
But yeah, now I can go during the day. I want to see it at night because it's a nighttime event and it makes it feel more, you know, in tune with what it is to me. Now, the next one I don't care, and I'm hoping during the day nobody's going to be in it either.
Yeah.
Although there's still going to be whatever, third capacity guaranteed.
Right.
If... You know, this weekend is any indication.
Oh,
do you think it'll break Lost World? Or Jurassic World, rather?
I do think it'll do it. It's on 4,100 screens. They keep adding shows, which is insane to me that they keep adding shows. That means that the demand is all-time high.
Yeah.
And apparently they shattered records for Thursday night openings.
50 to 55 million.
Yeah, it was like insane for a Thursday night. So I can only imagine what Friday and Saturday and Sunday are going to be like because it's getting great reviews and great buzz, you know.
Yeah, and it could easily do 100 million each day.
Yeah.
And then Sunday still counts as well.
Right.
So I think the ballpark of 300 million is within realm.
Certainly possible.
Yeah.
I believe it'll be the fastest film to 1 billion worldwide ever. I think it'll get there quicker than any film.
What's the all-time record? Titanic at what?
You mean total box office?
Yeah, total overall.
I don't know that.
Because I know it's...
Let me look it up real quick.
I want to say it's like 2 billion or something, or maybe 1.5 billion.
Right. It could be.
I think it could easily get that.
Yeah.
Just because of the international appeal, and it is such an homage to the classics that most people enjoy.
Yeah.
There's the younger generation that grew up with the second trilogy was their trilogy.
Yeah.
And I get it if you have that... You know, emotional attachment to it because had I had those when I was your age, those would be mine.
Oh, absolutely.
As well.
Also, absolutely.
And to a kid, it's a spectacle and it's crazy to see all these characters do all these interesting things.
Right.
It's just, as an adult, it fails on the story and the acting so thoroughly that I can't. But this one is, although I do think you need to be a fan of Star Wars to truly appreciate it because there's so much.
There really is.
That is just like, inside baseball shit.
Yeah. I mean, the burnt out at was great.
Yeah.
That she, her wearing the X-Wing pilot helmet.
The Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, the Jedi
There is
mind
no
trick.
Explanation of that, and all of a sudden she has that ability, and if you don't know, just like, okay. Or the significance of Leia.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anytime any of these older actors walk on the screen, the theater erupted.
Or Darth Vader. The mention of Darth Vader. You wouldn't know Darth
Just
Vader.
Just seeing the mask, although we saw that in the trailer.
Right, but you don't know who Darth Vader is if you haven't seen the movies, right? It's Avatar with 2.7 billion.
Oh, okay.
Titanic, 2.1 billion. Jurassic World, 1.6, almost 1.7 billion. And then Avengers, 1.5. Furious 7, which breaks my heart, 1.5.
I'm assuming this will be one of the 15 movies China allows in.
Yeah.
So you got to think.
China allowed it in there.
Yeah. They only allow like 15 per year that aren't Chinese made.
Yep.
So it's tough. Like, that's why we get so many now, you know. Asian storylines within huge blockbuster movies of, hey, you know what? It can help get us in the Martian.
Yep.
The reason we have the Chinese Space Agency come in.
Yeah.
Or in Iron Man that the doctor is Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently in, or not Iron Man, but Avengers.
Avengers, yeah.
In the Chinese cut, there's like a big scene between her and another Asian actor a huge like Asian actor in China.
Of course.
Yeah, so they had that in there. And from the account that I read, the Chinese audiences didn't like it because it just felt so jarring to throw this scene in the middle. But yeah. I don't know if that's true. I'm reading that.
Right.
Who knows how many hand down the line.
Right.
So I have no fucking idea. Well, I don't know many average Chinese citizens other than Stefan Marbury now.
Ew.
That's my only one.
Who can speak, apparently can speak Mandarin quite well now.
Really?
From having been there, yeah.
Man, what an interesting life that dude.
Listen, he came out in a quote the other day and said he thinks Kobe should finish his career in China.
I think Kobe will.
No, you think he'll go to China?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kobe's already the biggest athlete in China, and they already love him there and idolize him. He can go there, make... Because Marbury got that green status,
yeah.
He can now, you know, open businesses within China.
Yeah, yeah.
And it creates so many more financial opportunities for him.
Yeah.
So maybe if Kobe goes there, he can team up with Marbury. Marbury can release all his shit and open up businesses for Kobe. Because I don't see Kobe rescinding his American citizenship.
No.
So that could be a conduit too. It's just money.
Right.
For Kobe.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's going to be stuff in Hollywood and stuff in China, and that's what Kobe's going to be doing for the next 5 years.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Okay, so there you go. That's our recap and review of The Force Awakens, ending it with Kobe in China.
Here's a question, too, since we never really talk basketball on. Who shoots this trade down? Melo to Miami for Dragic and Winslow. Dragic does not play well with Wade. They have not figured, like, when they play together, both their pers, especially Dragic's, dip.
But you're gonna take away two point guards off your top two point guards off your team and give that to the Knicks in exchange for Carmelo? Who's going to run your point?
Winslow's a three. Justice Winslow?
Yeah, aren't they trading him to be a point guard?
Mm.
No, he's going to be he's a three?
He's going to be their Kawhi Leonard.
Okay. But then who runs your point?
He has Chalmers more value. That's fine. You can go get somebody serviceable. I mean, Wade is a ball dominant too. Right. So he's going to want the ball in his hands anyway.
How's that going to work with Carmelo?
But I think Carmelo with Wade and Bosch, because they've done so much FIBA stuff together, they can figure something out where, hey, Carmelo, you know that you're the greatest three-point international shooter we've ever had?
Yeah.
Why don't we just figure out a way for you to do that here in the NBA and reduce your... Because him and Porzingis play so well together, their averages go up because... Carmelo doesn't have to do everything now.
Right.
So I think if you put him in a system where he can share the burden, he'll excel even further.
Yeah. No, you make great points. You make great points. I just would hesitate.
I think the Knicks are rebuilding.
Yeah.
And you're getting Dragic on a favorable contract when the cap goes up.
Yeah.
And you're getting another young asset, and you're not going to make the playoffs this year, but you don't have your pick next year, so you might as well just develop as many young guys as you can and get out from underneath Carmelo's money and be a wheeler dealer in fucking free agency.
Yeah. Listen, you make sense. It's logical sense what you're saying. I think there are other factors involved here that'll stop that trade from happening.
Well, Carmelo's got a no trade clause.
And also Carmelo's roots that he's developing in New York.
True.
And Lala ain't going to let him leave New York. That girl loves
New York. If it's a chance at a championship... Because all you got to do is beat the Cavs, and you make the finals. That's it.
That's true.
I'm a Bulls fan. We don't have a shot in the best of seven against the Cavs. We don't. It sucks, but we don't.
It's LeBron again.
It is. It's going to be LeBron again, unless you can figure out some sort of other super team to take him down.
Yeah. But Kyrie comes back next week, I think.
I mean,
he was supposed to come back last night.
Do you buy Toronto? Do you buy?
No, I don't buy anybody but Cleveland.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Atlanta. Nope. Charlotte. Nope. Charlotte's on a run. Everybody's like, oh, Charlotte. No.
Nope.
No, I'm not buying it.
No. Justin Lin is getting significant time on your team. You are not going to
Jeremy
finals.
Lin?
Jeremy Lin. I'm sorry.
He dropped 35 two nights ago.
Yeah, two nights ago.
Or maybe last night.
35
one of the two.
Points. Yeah.
Anyway. There's so many other question marks in the East. And just like, no, all you got to do is beat the Cavs and you got it. If anybody does that, then great. Then you're the person that's going to be in the finals, and then you're going to lose to Golden State or San Antonio.
I just think it's destiny for Cleveland to go back and beat Golden State with a full healthy team.
Wow.
I do.
As much as I don't want to see LeBron again, that would be a great series.
That's going to be the series. It has to be the series because you have to prove to me you can beat Cleveland full health. I can't give you credit for that. You won the championship. God love you. But you did not beat Cleveland,
dude.
At full
25-1, and you're not buying them still.
Full strength,
25-1.
Come on, I just got to see him play in the playoffs, go to the championship, beat a full healthy Cleveland team. Then I'm okay.
I think it'll be 4-2 all over again.
No
Golden way. State. Mm-mm. Yeah,
and then Cleveland 7.
Well, their defense will drop when they have Kyrie back. So now,
their offense will increase.
will increase enough to offset the loss of defense?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yeah, I think it will.
We'll find out.
And we'll see how, you know, Draymond is a good defender, but I don't want to get too deep because it's about Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole separate podcast.
I know.
Okay.
We just never talk basketball, and everyone's getting people like, dude, guys, come on. I would love a good basketball podcast.
I keep telling we should do one on YouTube. We don't have to worry about putting it on iTunes.
Let's get it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Follow Matt at Matt Nost. Follow me at The Roca Says.
Bye-bye.